That was a lovely hymn
that we're singing, expressing in the chorus, as it does, a longing for the Lord to return. There's really not much evidence today of a great longing among God's people for the Lord to come again. There's not even much thought given to that subject. Yet it is the great event, the event of all events, that will conclude the history of the world to a very large degree. And it ought to occupy God's people. It ought to occupy us very much indeed. Well, it's good to see each one of you. And today we are going to conclude our study of the two leading rebels, two leading rebellious nations called Gog and Magog that make up a tremendous rebellion against the Lord at the beginning of the millennial reign, but also they will again rebel at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ. So open your Bible at Ezekiel, because we'll be referring to it. Ezekiel chapters 37, 38, 39 deal with that period of time. Last time we read chapter 39 and I commented on what is contained within it, I did urge upon you that you read it for yourself. I don't know if any of you did. I hope you did. And that by so doing you will have come to a better understanding. We do not take in the Word of God, indeed, any lesson the first time. There has to be a going over it. How many of you, when you take your pencil and your ruler, and you put a ruler on the page, and you draw a line, you do it once? No, you don't. You go back usually and do it again. Because the one stroke might have been a little faint in places, and it took the second run, and you likely go a third one as well. And there it is, a clear line, proper impression on the page. And that's how it is with seeking to get across the truth. You've got to repeat it, hoping to get it into your mind a little further each time we repeated it. Well, we have been learning this last week or so how that in the book of Ezekiel, in these chapters that we've read together, 37, 38, and 39, as well as chapter 20 of the book of the Revelation, there are two attacks by Gog and Magog and their supporters and sympathizers upon Israel. Two attacks. One takes place at the beginning of the reign of Christ, just sometime after he has returned. And the second one takes place at the end of the reign of Christ, when the devil is released for a short season and he attacks the people of God in the city of God, which is Jerusalem. Two attacks then. The one we're looking at in Ezekiel 37, 38, 39 is of course the first attack. And we discovered that it was the first attack by the fact that God clearly says how he will react to that first attack. And his reaction to the first attack is very different from his reaction to the second attack at the end of the millennial reign. Let me remind you what you read in Revelation, the chapter 20, two chapters from the end of the Bible. And in the verse 7, and when the thousand years are expired, ended, finished, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That was a very swift end. Fire fell out of heaven upon them, and that was the end. But it's different from what you read in Ezekiel, where there is not that swift conclusion to the rebellion, nor is there a complete and utter wiping out of Gog and Magog and their friends and allies. No, you turn to chapter 38 of Ezekiel and you read there about the attack. The verse 2 of chapter 38 says, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, and all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmets. God doesn't say here, I'm going to pour out my wrath upon you and destroy you in a moment. That's what happens in Revelation chapter 20. But that's not what happens here. If you look on over to chapter 39, God says in the verse 2 of chapter 39 of Ezekiel, And I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And you can read on there what God purposes to do with these rebels. But he's not wiping them out. I want you to notice that. He's going to greatly afflict them, yes. He's going to smite them, yes. But he's going to leave a portion of them. They're not going to be utterly wiped out, as will happen at the end of the millennial reign in Revelation chapter 20, the verse 7. So these things you have to take note of. You have to carefully divide the word of God. That's what we're told to do. Carefully divide the word of God. Don't just take it that when we read about Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 30, 7, 8 and 9, and again in Revelation 20, that it's referring to the same thing. No, look at what it says, and come to a proper conclusion. And the conclusion is, there's an attack at the beginning of the millennial reign by Gog and Magog and their allies, an attack in which they suffer a great defeat at the hands of God and of Israel, for Israel goes out against them. And we're told that it's on the mountains of Israel that Gog and Magog meet this defeat. You remember how we were reading about Israel gathering up all the armaments and not having to cut down any trees to fuel their fires for 7 years. They had so much fuel as a result of gathering up all the armor and other items of war from the battlefield. They were able to fuel their fires, didn't have to cut down any trees. That was at the beginning of the millennium. But at the end of the millennium reign of Christ, fire falls down from God out of heaven. Like the fire that fell on Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities were consumed in a matter of moments. And consumed completely. So it will be with Gog and Magog and their allies at the end of the millennial reign. Now, we have been trying to unravel just what these nations are that God speaks of and what they're going to do. We've been looking at that. I've said to you that men have all sorts of notions and views about Gog and Magog. Thankfully, you really don't know anything of those views, and I hope you never do, because since we have read these scriptures together, it's pretty clear. There's no mystery about it. There's no mystery about it. We don't have to come and say, oh, Gog and Magog, I think that might be China, or maybe it's Russia. Well, that's how some people come to prophecy, you know, and to the study of God's word. It's just a blind stabbing in the dark. Oh, maybe it means this and maybe it means that, and they're happy with that. Now, God never meant us to embrace foolish and wild notions. God speaks plainly and wants us to understand what it is he's saying. Plainly understand what he's saying. So we've looked at Gog and Magog. We see their nations, seen some of the names associated with Gog and Magog, Persia. Well, we know where that is. That's today's Iran. Libya, we know where that is. That's on the southern Mediterranean African coast. And we know the names of these nations. And we don't have to guess. And it's that whole region round about where, maybe we'll put Persia more or less in the middle, but it's that region all round about which always was in rebellion against God and always did hate Israel. It's in that area that these rebels will come at the beginning of the millennial reign and at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. The difference too, I wanted you to notice, was that Israel played a part in the first defeat of Gog and Magog. They went out, you remember I've told you, gathered up implements of war at the end of the battle and used them to fuel their fires. But at the end, in Revelation 20, God himself, without the aid of man, just as it was with Sodom and Gomorrah, nobody helped God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Fire came out of heaven. And so fire will come out of heaven upon Gog and Magog and their allies at the end of the millennial reign. Another indication that reminds us that what we read in Ezekiel is not at the end of the millennial reign is the impact that this defeat of Gog and Magog that is recorded in Ezekiel chapters 37, 38 and 39. Another indication that that doesn't happen at the end of the millennial reign is the impact that that defeat has upon the world and upon Israel. So things don't end with that attack, as will be the case in Revelation chapter 20. But there are years to follow, and nations learn from what they witness. Look at chapter 39. Well, let's read from verse 21, and I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen, I want you to notice this, all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. So what God does to Gog and Magog will be seen by all the heathen, and it will also have an impact on Israel. It will help, coming as it does at the beginning of the millennial reign, it will help in the spreading of the knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ has come, and he is now reigning over the kingdoms, and he will not take rebellion. He will not suffer it. At this present time, men rebel against God. Look what's happening out in the Middle East with these Muslims slaughtering and slaying. You don't lift a newspaper today, but every day it's reported that some new atrocity has been committed by this Islamic State terrorist group. Cutting off heads, mutilating people, kidnapping young girls. The most vile and wicked things. But God does nothing. God does nothing. Oh, I have no doubt that at an individual level, things are happening to those Muslims that are doing this that we never hear about. But at a group level, at a national level, there doesn't seem to be anything taking place. There's certainly no fire coming down out of heaven upon them. There's no evident judgment upon them. Because you see, Today, God restrains himself. God permits wicked men to do wickedly. But in the millennial reign of Christ, when he has come and has taken over the rule of the world, he will not permit men to act like that. He will not. But from the moment he takes up his kingship, then the world will begin to learn that he is now ruling over the nations of the earth, and his law will be obeyed. And one of the ways by which the nations of the earth will learn that is how Christ will deal with Gog and Magog. Didn't we read there, 39, 21? I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment. Were you to watch the news tonight, you will see reports of events. There's a rebellion going on in the African country of Burundi, and you'll be able to watch it tonight. The anarchy and the shooting and the murder that's taking place there, you'll see something maybe of these Islamic states and their activities out in Syria and Iraq, etc. You'll be able to watch it tonight. And many other acts of terror and rebellion and wickedness from various parts of the world. It'll be on our news. Now, your grandfather wouldn't have been able to watch these things. There wasn't the facilities to see at home on a television set what was happening in these countries. But now it's instant. Now it's instant. Somebody out there with a little mobile phone can take a video and you can see it all over the world. Well, when you read here, and I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see, I believe that indicates that the world will witness what the Lord does against Gog and Magog on the mountains of Israel at the beginning of the millennial reign. The world will see the power of God going forth, aiding and assisting Israel as they resist and overthrow, with the mighty help of God, this invasion by Gog and Magog. The world will see it. I can remember the first Iraq war, as they call it, and it was a television spectacular, and cameras were there in Iraq, and they were photographing the rockets coming in from the British and the American forces. I remember one day, a reporter was standing in one of the streets of the capital of Iraq, and he was standing, and you could see behind him the center of the city, and he was standing talking into his microphone and giving a report, and suddenly, over his shoulder, went a cruise missile. Well, a cruise missile is a huge rocket, about the length of the playground nearly, which they can fire from an aircraft, from a submarine, from a ship, and it can be programmed to look down on the earth and make its way from wherever it's fired right to a specific target. And it would actually follow rivers or follow a road. And as this man was speaking into the camera, reporting back, there this thing went down the road on its way to a target. On its way to a target. Oh, we were able by television to watch the very heart of action in the Iraq war. That's the way it is today. Well, I have no doubt that's the way it will be when Gog and Magog attack Israel. There will be facilities whereby the world will be able to see. And as a result of seeing, the world will learn the Lord's on the throne. He's not going to allow man to defy him anymore. Men will be required to submit to him. And of course, not only the heathen, verse 21 of Ezekiel 39, but it says, so the house of Israel shall know. Verse 22, there'll be lessons there for Israel. And Israel will learn and learn ever more deeply that God truly has rescued us, gathered us back unto himself. We're restored to fellowship with God. We're under his care and under his wing. And he will not allow anything to happen to us. So there will be an increasing awareness and knowledge on the part of Israel also that God is on the throne. The scripture says that in those times, the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Deep knowledge. But if you go down to the shore at a specific time, you will see the tides out. But gradually, it comes in. Well, when the Lord comes and takes up his kingship of the earth, the tide will be out. But within a short time, the knowledge will deepen and increase, just like the tide coming in. And here we see evidence of the increased knowledge when God destroys the army, the invading army of Gog and Magog, leaving only a small remnant to return to their land, severely chastened. That's at the beginning of the millennial reign. But of course they rebel again at the end of the millennial reign, and we've read that in Revelation chapter 20. Now after the Lord destroys Gog and Magog, finally, we swiftly come to the end of time, and we move into a new heaven and a new earth, and we'll begin to look at that next week in the will of the Lord. Let's bow together, please, in prayer. O God, be pleased to lay the ruler on the minds and hearts of the children, and let the pencil draw the line again and again and again, so that thy truth, which is there for us to learn, that's why you have given it to us, may be impressed upon their hearts and lives. We thank thee that the victory is the Lord's. He will put down all rebellion. And in the light of that, Lord, let us live in obedience to Christ and live holy lives. Any not saved here today, Lord, save them. Make them to realize they cannot rebel against the Lord and succeed. Answer prayer for us and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen.